Anyway, well, good morning. It's good to be here. Excuse my voice. I'm afflicted with a calloused vocal cord. That's what the doctor told me. So if you hear me clearing my throat, I'll try to do it off the microphone and not be too distracting. Well, it's good to be back here again. It's been a long time. Home is where your heart is. And anyway. Well, I've been spending a lot of time with Joshua. You know, like if you hang out with somebody long enough, you either see the good or the bad. And Joshua actually is a really neat guy to hang out with. He's a great role model. And I think in today's society especially, there's a craving for role models. And I think people are looking in all the wrong places. Because I think that God has given us some wonderful role models. I mean, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate role model. I mean, what could we say? The perfect man, the God-man who came and suffered and died for us to take the wrath of God, to be punished on a cross, the punishment that I deserved and that you deserved, he willingly took for himself so that I might have his righteousness, and that as miserable as I am, and as broken as I am, I could even stand here today and open up God's word and have us explore it today. So I thank him for that. And I want to talk a little bit about Joshua. I think that by calling the Old Testament old, I think we have a tendency sometimes to think that it really is old. You know, everybody talks about new school. You know, old school is no good. Well, I was educated old school, classical style, and it was pretty good for me. But I guess that's not so good anymore. So it's new school, but Joshua is a book in the Old Testament, but it's relevant for us today because it answers a question that I think needs to be asked, and that is, how are you doing? I mean, today, how are you doing today? I mean, when you turn around and there's murder and mayhem, when the economy's in the tank, when your 401k shrunk to nothing, your retirement account is shot, when disease is all around you and brokenness and people dying and people overdosing and everything, well, how are you doing with all that? Does that bother you? Does it bother you that talk radio is everywhere and there's the chattering voices trying to get in your head, tell you what you need to know and how you can be successful and how you can get through the horrible condition that we're in? How are you doing with that? You see, those are questions that beg an answer. And the point is that that answer, really, for the Christian, should be easy. You see, as a believer in Jesus Christ, regardless of the storms that are swirling around us, we as Christians should be saying, I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm doing very well. Can you say that this morning? Can you honestly say that? Well, I don't want to tell you, I don't want to like deceive you and make you think that I can say that easily, because I can't. I wish I could. I wish I could say every time that I am doing well. But honestly, I have days when I don't do so well. But that doesn't change the truth of who God is and what God has for us. So I would like to spend a little time and have us look at Joshua and the children of Israel as they crossed the Jordan into the promised land. You see, Joshua is the first book named after somebody after the Pentateuch. Now, there were great men in the, you know, if you stop to think about Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and all those books, there were great men in those books, Abraham and Moses and Isaac and Jacob, but they didn't have a book named after them. But this general Joshua, God put his name right on a book. And you would think, oh, Joshua, he was this proud guy with all these medals on and prancing around, but no. Joshua was a humble man. When we meet him in the scriptures, Moses says to Joshua, Joshua, take these men and go fight the Amalekites. Choose some men and go fight them. And Joshua didn't say to him, well, Moses, like, that army looks pretty big to me. Like, what do you want from me? Like, you're not giving me a... No, he said, okay, I'll go. And Moses defeated the Amalekites. And Joshua defeated the Amalekites as Moses stood on the hill and raised his arms. And Aaron and Hur helped Moses. You remember the story? Joshua had a great victory. He didn't take credit for that victory. He just did. He was just obedient. He followed what he knew in his heart to be the truth. He followed God. And then Moses took Joshua up the mountain when God gave Moses the law. And Joshua was there as God inscribed the law. What God wanted for those people, be holy as I am holy. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Be holy. And God gave the law to Moses, and Moses, the lawgiver, gave the law to the people. And Joshua said, yes, Lord. Whatever you want, I want. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. However you want me to do it, God, I'll do it. Joshua was not looking for accolades or affirmation. He wanted only to be what he became, a servant of the Most High God. Oh, that's a wonderful title. To be a servant. In this world, we chase after wealth and riches and fame and titles. We chase after all the things that the world has for us. But God wants us to chase Him, to chase after what He has for us. And so Moses took 12 men, one from each tribe, as commanded by God. And he said, go spy out the land that God is giving us and bring back a report. Do you know the story? 12 went and 12 came back. They even carried a pole with the hugest, largest grapes on it that they found. Oh, but the report that they gave, 10 of them said, oh, the land is a land beautiful, flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord said. But there are giants in the land, terrible giants in the land. Oh, we can't face those giants. But Joshua and Caleb said, oh, there are giants in the land. But the Lord our God is with us. And the Lord our God will defeat those giants, huh? So they brought back the minority report. And the anger of the Lord burned against Israel. Because all the people, guess who they went with? They went with the majority report. Oh, we can't go there. Oh no, there's trouble there. We could die. And the anger of the Lord burned against Israel. And God said, there'll be 1 year for every day that you were in that land, that you walk in this wilderness, till every one of you, 20 years or older, is dead in the desert. And the wilderness of Zin became one big burial ground. It became a cemetery. It was meant to be a way to the promised land, and they turned it into a cemetery. And God blessed Joshua and Caleb, for they would see the promised land. And so when we come to our text, we read that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had died. Moses, the lawgiver, was dead, because the law would not go the law giver would not bring that law into the promised land. Because you see, the promised land is a place of blessings, a place of amazing grace. Canaan is a place of amazing grace. And the Jordan was just the way to get there. And just as God had parted the sea, the Red Sea, so God would part the river. Oh, but he wouldn't do it in a little way. He would do it in a great way. He would wait until the river was at flood stage so there could be no mistaking who had done what he had done. So anybody that tells you that the Israelites crossed the river when it was 2 inches deep is lying to you. Because God has something to say about that. No, the river was at flood stage and it stopped like a heap. And all those Israelites would be allowed to cross over into Canaan. And God said, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So I go, and this is not going to be about me, but I struggle for illustrations sometimes because I just don't preach a lot. And I don't think when I'm seeing things that, oh, this would be a great sermon illustration. So sometimes I have to come up with things that are going on in my life. So forgive me, this is not about me, but I want to share this because it's really about where I am with God. So back in December, my doctor sent me for a routine colonoscopy and endoscopy. And it was routine, and everything was great. And my wife had gone, and we were there together in the doctor's office. I didn't have an appointment the day of her report, but I was there, and Sharon said, well, why don't we see if he's got your report, and then we don't have to come back next week. I said, oh, yeah, okay, fine. So the doctor is all of a sudden, he's like bent out of shape, this guy. He's like going nuts. I said, what's with him? I said, I better apologize. I'll come back next week. Don't be upset. Well, he was upset because he hadn't seen my report. You see, my report showed another cancer in my body. And I think when that happened and that doctor told me that, because he didn't even know how to say it. So we kind of helped him along. For a moment, it was like, oh God, why? Oh God, what? And then, just as quickly as it was, oh God, why? It was, oh God, use this again for your glory, Lord. Because Lord, you are the one that knows everything. You know every cell in our bodies. You see, where God wants us to be, where God really wants us to be, is so close to him that we look at him and remember his precious promises to us. Oh Lord, if it had not been for your word during my affliction, Lord, what would have happened to me? The psalmist said that his word is forever fixed in heaven. And if I don't have his word hidden in my heart, then what will I do? Will I grasp at life? Will I cling tenaciously to life? Have you ever seen anybody clinging that way? I have. You sit in chemo for a while, you meet a lot of people. Most of them don't know God. You want a great ministry? Spend some time at a place where they infuse people with chemotherapy. God gets you in touch with your mortality in a hurry. But there's hopelessness there. But we, the people of God, are not like those who have no hope. We are a people filled with hope. So Joshua was this new leader. Israel had a new leader. He brought the people from the wilderness to Canaan, the promised land. For the unsaved, and for us who are saved, there is a leader God gave us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Joshua. Jesus took us from the bondage of sin in Egypt, our Egypt, and delivered us. He delivered us the way Moses and Joshua delivered the children of Israel. But Paul said in Ephesians, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing." Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the Lord Jesus Christ, for we are blessed in Him with some, with a few, with what? With every spiritual blessing. Every. There is not one blessing that God has for His children that He does not make available to us in Christ. In Christ. How are you doing? Right? Are you doing better? I hope you're doing better. I'm doing better. Just thinking about Jesus helps me to do better. Canaan, this land filled with giants, this pagan land overrun with idolatry, is the land that God chose to give to His people. He told Abraham back in Genesis, He says, "Abraham, walk to the north and walk to the south and walk to the east and walk to the west and everywhere as far as your eye can see, Abraham. This is your land. I give it to you." There's a picture there. And Joshua, when he brings the children to the border of the Jordan, that promise is still right there in front of him. From the Mediterranean to the Negev Desert to the Euphrates. This land, all of this land, wherever you put the sole of your foot, that is your land. You own that land. It is my land and I give it to you. Ah, God, my child, he says, these blessings in Christ are your blessings. I give them to you. Take the blessings of God. That's what he says. Oh, but how can we claim these blessings? Did you hear what the scripture said? That Joshua obeyed the law. He hid God's word. And Joshua, what did he have? 5 books. We have how many? 66. Oh my. We have more than 12 times what Joshua had. For Joshua, 5 books were sufficient for him to claim the promises of God. And God gives us 66. His complete revelation until He returns to us. Everything God has to say to us. Is in your Bible. This is my Bible. I have many Bibles now. I'm almost embarrassed. Because I think someday God will say to me, "Frank, you had a lot of Bibles. How well did you know me?" I have a lot of Bibles. That doesn't even count what's on my computer. Oh boy, forget it, right? This Bible is special to me because this was the first Bible that I bought when I came to Christ. This Bible is special to me. It was with this Bible that I said to God, "Oh God, make me hungry for your word. Lord, make me hungry." And I am a poor example because He keeps me hungry. And I keep going over and over again. and I seem to be back in the wilderness so much. God wants us to plant our feet in Canaan. He really does. He wants us to stop playing around. I am so tired. Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of all the voices telling you, we'll take care of you? Do you want the government to take care of you? Or do you want God to take care of you? Oh, come. Everybody lost. We lost. Our house went down in value. Whatever savings we had, half of it is gone now. But you know what? As it was sliding away, it became easier and easier for me. I said, oh, Lord, it is yours. You own it. You own everything. And so, God, if it's your choice right now for us to be a little bit impoverished, well, so be it. But make us rich in your word, Lord. Will it take us Americans longer to figure it out? That to be rich in Christ sometimes demands that we be somewhat materially impoverished. How many things do we want and how many things do we need in our lives? How many shirts can I wear? How many cars can I drive? How many houses can I live in? How many? When will I be truthful with myself and with God and say, God, I don't know you well enough. I don't want you much, Lord. I want what you can give me, but I don't want you because you just get in my way. So Joshua, the leader that God gave them, took the children of Israel into the promised land. And this land flowing with milk and honey, was the land that God wanted something very special to happen, right? And what was that? That was that the drama of redemption would take place in that place. That land was special and is special because it was in that land that the Messiah would be born, that Jesus would come, that God himself would invade humanity, would crash through history, and would fix what was broken. Jesus himself, the only one who could do it, came to Israel, to that place. He didn't come to Tarrytown. He didn't come to Mount Vernon. He didn't come to Florida. He came to Israel. So God had a specific plan for that place, and he fulfilled that plan. Jesus came, and Jesus died. So this message might be more for believers today, but if you're here and you don't know Christ, then this message is for you too. Because the only remedy for the problem that we have, for the sin problem that we have, is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He is the only remedy. Buddha can't fix it. Muhammad can't fix it. Hare Krishna can't fix it. Only Jesus can fix it. And only Jesus is acceptable to God. And so that new life that God offers and he gives, he wants it to be an abundant life. Jesus said, I came to what? To bring life and to give you life more abundantly. This is eternal life. That they should know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life. And when we possess that life, God wants us to experience the quality of that life in the land, this land of blessing, to have this abundant life here and now, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of heart disease and cancer and brokenness and crippleness, regardless of poverty, regardless of anything, any circumstance. God wants us to experience an abundant life in Christ, to have the joy in believing. The joy of the Lord is my strength, the prophet said. Let the joy of the Lord, he says, be your strength. And that's the new life God wants to give us. The new leader, Joshua, the new land, Canaan, and the new life in Israel, they would experience what they hadn't known for centuries. In bondage in Egypt, Joshua's parents named him Hosea, which means salvation. And we see the faith of those people. Could you imagine in Egyptian bondage that they would actually have the audacity to name their son salvation? And yet they did. And Moses, when he chose Joshua among the 12, said, "No, I will name you Joshua, Yeshua, Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh is salvation. The Lord God Almighty, He is salvation." And so Joshua carried this name. And so the Israelites, delivered from Egypt by the power of God, had the choice to go into the promised land and did what? They chose not to. They chose to stay because they were afraid. But Joshua never lost hope or faith in God. And so Joshua ultimately had the privilege then, again, of leading them into the promised land. Where are we? Where are we? Are we in Egypt? No, if we're delivered from sin by the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not in Egypt. We're not in Egypt. But are we in the wilderness? Ah. Are we still wandering around the desert, afraid to step foot in the promised land? Are we allowing the troubles of this world to so consume us and take hold of us that we don't take hold of the promises of God? Or are we in Canaan? Stepping gingerly, perhaps, one foot at a time, going slowly with God, maybe even looking back and missing those things that we left behind. I found the quote that C.S. Lewis, from C.S. Lewis in his book, The Weight of Glory, that I thought was pretty challenging, actually. He says, "We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." We are far too easily pleased. I think God wants to challenge us to be discontent with this world. See, when you get really sick and you think you might die, and we're all going to die, but I mean, when you really think you're going to die, one of two things happens. Either you get really bitter and you say, "Oh man, I don't want to die yet," or whatever. Or you might get hungry for God. You might almost get to a place where you long more and more to see God, to be with God. But God doesn't want us to be on the verge of death to long for Him. I mean, I think it was wonderful today. I was particularly watching some of the lyrics for some of the songs. And yeah, it's true. Like, you know, God, take my life and let it be consecrated to Thee. Take my voice, take my feet, take my hands. Well, don't pull too hard, though, you know, because... But God says, no, like, if you're going to give me something, abandon yourself. That's a great word, right? Abandon. Be abandoned to God. Oh, that's a novel idea. It's almost scary, right? Be abandoned to God. Just let go of what you're hanging on to and believe God. He says, not one of God's promises fail. Not one. I'll never leave you or forsake you, he said in the scripture. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I will never leave you or forsake you. Can you get it? I will never leave you. God says, You know, even if a mother abandons her child, I will never abandon you. Oh, God, you're so great. Do you love him? Do you really love him? I love him. I love Jesus. Oh, God, Jesus, you're wonderful. Walk with the Master. You know, he wants us to walk with him. Get to know him. I think about like Enoch, you know. You know, Enoch was that guy that, you know, kind of God took away. Could you imagine like God and Enoch probably walking day after day. They're walking and talking. And I think maybe, this is not in the scriptures, but anyway, maybe God said one day, Enoch, you like being with me? Oh, God, I love being with you. Come on, I'll take you with me. It's wonderful. God, take me with you on this journey of faith. This is a journey, right? There should be joy in the journey. Step by step, right? You know that great Rich Mullins song? Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Step by step, God. Just step by step. Moment by moment. Little by little. Because I know, God, that those blessings in Christ are my blessings. And if you're a believer in Christ, your blessings. That's how big God is. We don't diminish each other by loving God. We're not in competition for the Father's lap here. Oh no. God loves his children and he wants us to get a hold of him. Alan Redpath wrote a commentary on Joshua back in the early 50s. And when I read the introduction to his commentary, something struck me, because this is something that he wrote in about 1953, so more than 50 years ago. He says, once we grasp that the truth of the Old Testament is then it's transformed from a book of dry history and unintelligible sacrifices into a book of divine revelation. This is true especially of the book of Joshua. Within its pages, he says, I believe we shall find the secret of so much that is lacking in Christian experience today. Now, this is in the 50s, so listen to what he said. It has been my profound conviction for some years. Wow, this, talk about old school. This is a while ago, right? It has been my conviction for some years that the greatest need in the Christian church is a revival of the New Testament standard of living. There seems to be a very wide gulf between what we believe and how we live. A marked contrast between our position in Christ and our actual experience. Too often we claim to believe our Bible from cover to cover, but fail to live out its truths in daily conduct. So he's writing this more than 50 years ago. The fact is, and this is really what got me, the fact is that in conservative evangelical circles today, 1953, there is a great deal of propaganda and program, talent and testimony, but too little progress in bringing our generation to the Lord. The way of real blessing is costly, often unspectacular, yet always fruitful. I feel the weight of this responsibility. Tori blessed me with this privilege to preach here today, and I feel the weight of that. And I feel the weight that he carries week after week after week. Because the preaching of God's word is to bring the word of God to the people of God so that that word will transform. It is transformational. The word of God is transformational. God wants to change us. He wants us to look more and more like Christ. He does. And Joshua was such a great example of Christ's likeness, if you will. He walked in faith. Jesus said, I came to do the will of the Father. And on the cross he said, it is finished. And he came and he did everything that God had asked him to do. I don't do anything, Jesus said, except that I hear from the Father. Whatever the Father told him to do, he did. And I would challenge us and say that the more we look and study the Word of God, the more we see the Word of God, the more God will be challenging us. Because as we see His Word, we will either obey it or not. See, God's anger burned against the 10 and the people when the report came back because they were unbelievers, the word says, that they were in disbelief. They did not believe God. God's anger was the fact that they didn't trust Him. Oh my. They didn't trust Him. God wants us to trust Him. We trusted Him when we admitted our sinfulness and repented. We trusted Him. We trusted that Christ is sufficient, that we don't have to add to what He did for us. We trusted Him. But now God says, trust me in this. Be strong and courageous. Put your feet down in this land of blessing. Will there be giants? Oh, yeah. There will be big giants, believe me. There will be people with sharp objects looking to hurt you. There will be people that have bad things to say about you, about the fact that you actually believe that that is the Word of God. There will be giants in the land. But God says, and wants us to say, so what? That's no big thing for God. What is too big for God? Please tell me. There's nothing too big for God. Love God. Love His Word. After all, He says, I put my word above my name. Love His Word. God's conversing with us, right? You open your Bible, that's a conversation. God's talking to us. He's talking to us. Keep your Bible open. Pray over your Bible. Get a verse of Scripture. Pray over it. Now we are the children of God. It hasn't been revealed yet what we shall be. But when we see Him, we shall be like Him. For we'll see Him as He is. Think about that. For about a day or a week or a month even, that you are a child of God. Think about the fact that God will not leave you or forsake you. Think about that. Think on these things. What does Paul say? Whatever's pure and noble and good. Think on these things. Don't think about, oh, the stock market's down another 350 zillion points today. And General Motors is in the tank. And there are 44 million layoffs. Who cares? I don't care. Is that going to change my relationship with God? No. Be strong and courageous. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. Be very courageous. Father, I just want to just bow before You, Lord, and confess that I am not always strong and I am not always courageous, Lord. I am rather weak sometimes and rather more dependent on what I know and who I know rather than the one I should be looking to, God, at all times, Lord. So please forgive me for that, God. Forgive me for my frailty, God, and my failure to really lay hold of that promise that You've given us in Christ, Lord. God, I love You. We love You, Lord. God, this is a church, Lord, that continues to preach the gospel here in Tarrytown, God. Let this be a light on the hill, God. Let this be a place, a beacon, God, where people will come God, come and be nourished. Come and be saved, God, where people will come and know the Savior more and more every day, God. Thank you again, Lord, just for your blessings in Christ, Lord. Every blessing that we have, Lord, may we just remember that, God, that your precepts are forever fixed in heaven, God, that your word doesn't change, that you, Jesus, are the same yesterday, today, and forever, God, that you change not, God, that you keep us, Lord, that you preserve us, God, that you have an inheritance that's undefiled and reserved for us, God. Thank you for all the rich blessings that we have in Christ. Lord, may we be the generation, God, that stops playing around in mud pies in the slums, God, but may we come out to this place, God, to this rich Beulah land, God, where we can adore you and worship you and praise you, God. And I thank you, God, especially in your Son's name. Amen.